Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Star. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha!
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome back to a brand new episode of The Pod, The Podcast, not The Pod, The Podcast. I'm the host of this here podcast, Ted Smith, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Oh, the first one of 2025. We're dry humping it. All right, down there at the bottom square, goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
The Pod, boys. We are raw dogging this week, and honestly, great pre-show talk. I'm pumped up. I feel like that got the juices flowing. Would have loved if we record it. Let's get it this year.
Up there in the top left corner, beaming in from the desert, Matt Kama, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
What's up, boys? Been looking forward to this. It's great to see both of you.
All right, so we've been off for a while. I want to start with that dry humping comment.
Of course.
We had Live Day back in December. Fun event. It's at Showbox Soto. Just classic Friday night in Seattle. Just piss and rain. There's a giant Christmas thing happening at the baseball stadium. It took me like an hour to get there from where I live up in like North Gate area. Just right. But the show went off awesome. Little humble brag here, and we've had him on the podcast. So I was upstairs, and Jesus, the Daily Mig show had on Big Walt, right? Walter Jones. So like somebody was upstairs. They're like, Ted, you've had him on your podcast. Like you've seen him a couple times. Are you guys friends? And I go, yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I'm sure he recognized me or whatever. Go downstairs for backstage, and there's like a bunch of people milling around. I look up, we catch eyes, and he's just like, up nod, walks over. What up, man? I'm like, what up, Walt? I was like, nice.
That's sick. Checking in.
So that night, and then Mike and I, Mike Hawk, we did Christmas, we tag teamed Christmas at Hollis to end the show.
Nice.
Right? It was electric, boys. I mean, by the time we start singing, people recognize what the song is. Our buddy, a couple of our friends, our good buddy Josh, he was up there. We had a few of the Scoblins playing the horns part. So we start going, and like people get out of their seats. They're rushing the stage now. They're like at the front of the stage. Mike and I are feeling it. Like we crush it. Show ends. Well, I'm standing on stage, just high-fiving people, signing autographs, yada, 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 get my stuff. We go over to Hooverville. We're having a blast. And then we did the afters at my buddy's house. And I mean, I was a little messed up at this point, but somehow I've decided it's like, oh, no, like pizza? Ooh, from Pagliacci? I'd dry hump that. So now I'm just trying to use it as like lingo. But then over the next couple of days, I like text it to people like, oh, we should definitely dry hump that. And like, I think Brad and Taryn were both like, who are you dry humping? What are you talking about? Like, no, it's a good thing.
That is funny that they just G-checked you on that. Like, what are you saying? Why are you making up these words? I mean, I loved when you guys got into raw dogging vegetables. And now, of course, there's the trend of people raw dogging flights, which is where they go no headphones, no magazine, no book, no TV, no podcast, drinks. Nothing. No drinks?
Yeah.
Jesus. Dude, the weird and funny part about that is, of course, like the greatest player of the game is the one who doesn't even know they're playing it. Which would be my mother-in-law, who's been raw-dogging flights for the last 15 years. Didn't even know it was a trend. Raw-dogs every flight, dude. Nothing. She just found out about airplane Wi-Fi 3 months ago. That's a true story. True story. So anyway, she's like the raw-dog OG.
But I mean, they fly a lot.
Yeah. And like long flights, too. Yeah, they're in a plane like every, you know, couple times a month.
That's pretty good. I will say, I felt a little bit like, so on the 26th, I flew back. By the way, Cobb, that was random because I was in a bar on my birthday on Christmas Eve, but thanks for the FaceTime. I hope you could tell. Christmas Eve, boys, was beautiful up here, man. It was almost 60 degrees and sunny. I was like, this is amazing.
Dude, that's awesome. I'm pumped about that. Actually, I don't want to say his name, but, you know, my wife's dad like was instigating that, and I was like, I don't know, I don't want to like disturb Ted, whatever he's got going on. And then as soon as we popped on, I was like, oh nice, okay, it's welcome.
Yeah, exactly, trust me, because like I was sitting there with our buddy BT and his wife and my buddy Sean and you know party boy Brett, and they were like, who? And I was like, hang on, I gotta take this one.
Nice, dude, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, and our friend Danielle, right, she like is the bar manager for like the Point and the Bridge and a couple other bars. So she's standing there and she's showing us these videos of her in this Nutcracker costume scaring her friends the night before. And I'm like, is it here? And she's like, yeah. And we're like, put it on. So she's out front, like just waving like a Nutcracker. So when Kyle FaceTimes, we're like, dude, you got to see this. Look, we got a Nutcracker.
That's awesome, man. And yeah, happy birthday. But I didn't get the chance to say it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I was going to say, so flying back on the 26th, had an early morning flight. And halfway through the flight, I'm like, I've been drinking beer. Like, I want a cocktail. I was like, I really want a Sprite. So what do you guys think? You see a guy, and it's business class, so I get a couple free cocktails. I got a Sprite, and I'm just drinking it. And then I'm just taking nips off a little miniature of espresso vodka.
Oh, yeah. What's the question?
I felt like halfway, I'm on my second bottle, like, nipping it. And I'm like, does this look bad?
Here's my question for you. You said early flight. How early are we talking?
I think I got on that plane like right, like 9:30, 10. Slept for like an hour or two.
9:30 is 12:30 on the East Coast. I think you're fine. You're flying to DC, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Oh yeah, brother. You're totally good. Why were you getting side eyes from old women?
No, I don't know. Like at one point, like I just was like putting the last little bit of the second one down. In my head, I was like, this does not look good. But I was like, I don't feel like drinking a beer, but like, I really just want a Sprite as well. So I was like, I want, you know.
Dude, as the guy who orders Sprite at every bar he goes to, don't censor yourself. On a plane, dude, drink whatever you need to get through it. Like I've been known to do like back-to-back coffees on a plane. I'll make like wild plane orders. It doesn't matter. Like just anything that gets you through the flight. It's to each his own up there. Or what's that? Every man for himself.
Yeah. Also, I didn't even think about this, but a bonus of showing back up to the place you grew up, where, you know, Chris picks me up with his kids. I got to stop calling them the kids. They're goddamn, one's a cop. One's 20 years old and a sophomore at Ole Miss. But they're, you know, my sister-in-law is like, we got every restaurant or fast food. And she's like, or we have leftovers. And I was like, leftovers? And it's like, yeah, we have London broil and these kind of potatoes. Whoa. And a squat. I was like, oh, yeah, yesterday was Christmas. Like, let's go to the house. Leftovers it is.
Yeah, seriously. Wow. I actually didn't know that one of them is a cop.
Yeah, Maddie, she just passed the academy. And she's got to do like one more little bit of training and then. You got to watch out for Officer Smith on patrol in Charleston, South Carolina.
Let's go, Officer Smith. Oh, in Charleston? Dude, that's rad. I was just thinking, okay, I'm happy that she hasn't graduated the academy yet. Because I'm like, we have talked an inordinate amount of shit about cops on this podcast for no reason and no upside. Like, it's all downside.
I wouldn't say that. We're not always that mean about it.
Now, honestly, I think that on this podcast, we're some of the few people who... what's the best way to put this without blowing everything?
Professional.
Some of the few Burning Man adjacent folks who recognize the need for, you know, police are necessary for sure.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. I got in a few conversations back east. Like, you know, everybody votes different ways. A couple people threw shots across the board and it's like, listen. Like, I'm with you. I'm clearly a liberal. I also own a weapon. So, like, there's a middle ground here.
Totally. Moderates for the win.
Right. Yeah, but it was awesome going home or going back east, visiting people. Are you familiar with Jimmy? First of all, let me say. So hang out with my brother. Next day, we meet some family friends of ours. We'd all gone to the same grade school. Their kids are grown up. Just awesome, right? Another holiday party. We're playing games. And then Saturday was the big Smith family Christmas party. Shout out to my sister. She got 30. There must have been every Smith. I feel like every Smith that was alive was there. Row House, South Baltimore, 30 some people. I mean, it was packed in there, but it was a lot of fun.
That's live. I mean, what people don't know about you, Ted, we've been friends long enough that I can say, is that, like, you know, your family is just as, if not more, funny and loud than you are. So imagine,
correct,
if you will, 30 Ted Smiths in one house, in a row house.
Yeah. Awesome. I mean, my one buddy tells me all the time, he goes, I really think your brother Chris is funnier. He's like, he goes, you have a higher volume, but I was like, oh, all right.
Like, thanks, man. Well, right. Dude, your mom is funny as hell, too.
Yeah, right? Like, cousin Pat's funny, Dan's funny. I mean, bunch of stuff. What was I going to say? Kyle, you'll respect this, right? So the Smith Family Popcorn sent out a whole shipment of popcorn, right? Big nice box. So I'm in the kitchen, and my one cousin's husband, he's opening the box. And now it's just me and my aunt in there, who I say works in the shipping department. There's all the flavors. They have dill pickle, which is my favorite. So I, like, pull it out, and I go, should I just hide it? She's like, yeah. You flew in the farthest one away. She's like, just hide it. So I'm like, all right. So I stash it. Then later, we're out in this living room. My Uncle Phil's walking around with all the different flavors, and I'm like, where's the dill? And he's like, but, you know, yelling at his wife, my aunt, where's the dill? I'm like, shh, no. And he's like, what? I'm like, oh, I already stashed it. So now people are on the hunt. Where's the dill?
Oh, no.
And then I'm in the kitchen. And I think it was my sister came in. She's a few cocktails and a few nogs deep. And she's like, where's the dill? And I was about to just give it to her. And I go, I heard it was out. Oh, it's out? And she just walks in the living room and goes, it's out. So when the crowd thinned out around 11:30 at night, it was just a few of us, you know, sitting around for a late night chat up sesh. I was like, you guys want some dill?
Nice, dude. That's awesome.
But anyhow, yeah, good trip, all that kind of stuff, New Year's and everything.
Oh yeah, every Smith alive, that's awesome.
Yeah, the kids are in the basement painting the stairs. My sister's like, yeah, make a mural out of it. It's like, all right. Like, I mean, it was solid. Lido's, meatballs, crab balls. I mean, it was the full Smith experience.
Damn, that's awesome. How obviously the Smiths are big drinkers. What percentage of the Smiths are zinning, dipping, or vaping at this point?
Ooh. That's a lower number. And some of the Smiths have fallen off with the booze. Like my cousin Patrick, he just kind of like Matt did. He just kind of stopped one time. I guess he was doing it for a month and just kind of was like, all right, I'm not going to pick that up. And then like cousin Kelly was pregnant. Like there was, usually this is a 330 pack party. It was a 218er party this time around.
Wow. How the times have changed. That's awesome.
But I was probably the biggest zinner in the crew. So, again, it's like my cousin Carly, right? Her husband, Chris, who's a firefighter, he was just like, I go, you don't drink anymore? He goes, nah, I just wanted to take a year off to prove I could do it. I go, all right. So we're at one liquor store, and he's like, let's get some Athletic, the NA beers. They don't have them. So we specifically went to another liquor store just to get, like, 12 or 18 NA beers, which to me seemed kind of ironic, right? So then my cousin Pat, who doesn't drink, we're sitting there and I go, oh, you like the Athletics? I didn't think you drank NA beers. He goes, I don't really, but this is pretty good. And I go, Pat, you know what's ironic? We had to go to a separate liquor store to get that NA beer. He goes, you know what's really ironic? I own a beer garden. I don't drink and I don't even sell these. I was like, why not? He goes, I don't know. They're pretty good. People ask for them. I was like, yeah, maybe start slinging those.
Dude, that is hilarious. Yeah, I've heard those are pretty good. I haven't had them yet. Matt, have you?
Dude, I've been having Athletics for a long time since. Yeah, I mean, I feel like a hipster right now. Like before anyone knew what those things were. Now they're everywhere, dude. It's amazing. But yeah, they were one of my favorites early on in my NA journey. Cause yeah, that whole scene has really like taken off in the last 10 years, I would say. When I first looked into NA beers, all you could find was like O'Doul's. And then if you were lucky, St. Pauli's or Beck's had them. And sometimes bars would have those. Huh?
The Klaus Challer or whatever.
Cost Hauler, yeah, they're one of the early
that
ones.
That one's been around forever.
I think the Tractor had those.
Yeah. So I will say, right, so some of this, like, people are slowing down or whatever. We're talking about NA beers. The Athletics, once, I don't know what I was doing. It had been a very long day, and now I'm at Taryn and Brad's, and I'm like, I need a beer. I was on number three, and Taryn looks at me. She goes, you know those are NA, right? And I'm like, what? So, I mean, the Athletic IPAs are pretty damn good. I put down three of them.
Right? Nice, dude. That's all. I mean, that's a real testament to it because you're a serious beer drinker. That's
Wild. So then, right, some other people are, like, are slowing down or quitting. So we start talking about it. And I said, well, you know, Matt's just like my go-to, right? I see him every week. And I'm like, ah, he's quit for years, but he still drinks NA. So then I go, the only NA thing I've had that was not didn't seem worth it was that goddamn shot of whiskey we did the one time.
Oh, down in Oregon?
Oh, yeah.
Matt was all fired up, like, I got this whiskey, and I'm like, all right, let's try it. Oh. And then it's like beer, I like the taste of beer, but I was just like, I don't know that I would drink whiskey if it didn't give me like get you drunk.
Just it shooting whiskey.
So bad. Yeah. But it didn't taste like whiskey either.
Yeah. Like, that's I don't know. It'd be tough for me to get on board with NA shots, boys. I gotta be honest. I could do an NA beer, no problem. But NA shots.
Honestly, well, I'm just glad it was memorable. In hindsight, like, we still talk about that. We still reference that.
Matt, what happened to the old Warhorse? I feel like growing up, O'Doul's was like the brand. Are they gone?
They were around when I first started drinking NA, and they've kind of gotten crushed by this NA, like, microbrew generation, and Heineken came in with Double Zero and distributed that really well, and that really bumped things up. I had that before it hit the States too when we went to Amsterdam, and Heineken Double Zero is still really good, but Athletic and Heineken, I would say, are the two biggest, like, needle movers in the last, you know, however long it's been. But I'd say O'Doul's has gotten dethroned pretty hard. Like, they still may be number one in distribution, you know, like in some stats, but they definitely don't have the stronghold they once did.
So they were like the trailblazer or the tip of the spear, and now it's just the market's kind of matured.
Yeah, yeah, you could say it that way. I think they tasted awful. I hated O'Doul's. I guess they had the amber was okay, but the original O'Doul's was just awful.
It's looking like maybe number one is the Athletic Wild Run IPA.
Yeah, they have an IPA, they have a Pilsner, they have a lager, and they taste blonde, like real beers. Yeah.
There's a Guinness Zero, too.
I think the other thing, too, is I've noticed, I was going to say, like, I have some friends now that still drink, but they'll just mix in some Athletics during the day. Because they're like, I still want to drink beer, I just don't feel like getting that drunk.
Yeah.
That's a good move. Good I like the kind of hat. That's a good strat for me, actually.
Yeah,
you guys had Best Day Brewing or Matt? That's another.
Yeah, I think I remember that one. I went through a phase where I like tried every NA I could get my hands on in person, and then going to like Total Wine or BevMo, then everything I could get online too. Like, I've tried a lot, so I feel like that name rings a bell.
Nice.
Matt, have you tried? Because obviously it's the new year, so even my Instagram feed is full of, like, it's a nootropic mushroom beverage. Seriously, all my Instagram, like, that's like every other commercial. Especially we're having this conversation, I'll have even more of them.
Yeah, Cordyceps.
Yeah. Cordyceps? What was
dude,
the one?
Cordyceps is the one I will stand by. I used to be really into nootropics, like, way back in the day. Cordyceps gave me crazy energy. But you don't have to pay a ton for it with, like, the Onnit stuff or whatever. It's widely available now. It's on Amazon or whatever. But Cordyceps mushrooms, for me, they say it – oh, man. I'm trying to remember the copy at the time. But I believe they were saying it somehow delivers more oxygen to your muscles. I don't know if that's true. But I do remember specifically being like, wow, I feel pumped up and pretty good. But, yeah, there's a lot of, like, changa and, like, morning, you know, drink powders of various sorts.
Lion's mane.
So this I'm one's trying to called, get in that magnesium game right now.
This one's called Breeze, the drink you've been waiting for. Microdose infused social tonic that delivers a feeling of euphoria, clarity, and relief.
What's a social tonic?
Just like some people just like have a couple drinks just to kind of loosen up because they're socially awkward.
Right, but But they have those like to have alcohol, so because they're socially awkward, right?
Right.
Some so of the, I'm saying some this... of the marketing stuff on this always weirds me out. Sorry, what were we saying?
Oh, there's another commercial I get where it's just like a dude at his house with a bottle of some kind of mushroom microdose, and he's like, "I love watching football, drinking beers." He's like, "But I was ordering too much pizza." He's like, "No, I just take shots of this." It's just like, I mean, it's real specific.
Dude, never did I think in our lifetime that the worlds of mushrooms and watching football would collide. That's amazing.
Dude, I'm look, I've been trying to collide them here and there.
Dude, you're the guy, dude. That ad is so oddly specifically targeted. Jesus.
It's like, what did they know I was doing on New Year's Day?
Yeah, it's like, how does Mark Zuckerberg know you so well?
Also, this is not a microdose.
Oh my god, man. You know, I was talking about this with somebody the other day, and the one of my moves now is I'll go in the sauna but no headphones, raw dog, and people will chat me up, you know, just kind of open the doors for convo. And I was chatting with this guy. Wait, what were you just talking about? I totally forgot.
The guy microdosing. No, it's a macro dose.
Zuckerberg
knows us.
Zuckerberg knows us.
So does Dana White now.
Yeah, I know. Seriously. Nice one. But yeah, about like, you know, getting targeted ads in Facebook and how they're like eerily accurate or creepy or whatever. We were kind of talking about how, like, if the world we live in is the Matrix, so like simulation theory, which Elon Musk is a big proponent of, it feels like the ads are getting served like too fast. Like the algorithm's kind of like breaking down. Like I've just noticed if I like talk about something, and this is, to be clear, not an actual ad. If I'm like talking about something, like 3 minutes later, somebody will walk by me talking about the same thing. And I'm like, the algorithm like needs to dial back a chill little out. Bit. Like it's, yeah, it needs to chill out, dude. Cause it's feeling robotic and fake. I'm like, you need to give it like, you know, 2-3 days minimum to at least feel like a synchronicity and not just like, you know, targeted. So anyway, the Matrix is starting to crack, for what it's worth. So 2025 could be the year, boys. I'm not sure.
I will say that is my new move. If I'm stuck in like a serious conversation that like, you know, whether it's politics or something, like now I'm just kind of the point. This was my move over the holidays. That's all fucking simulation anyhow, man. So what do you care?
That's so ridiculous, dude.
Right. Just walk away.
So what do you care? That's a good mic dropper. Right. Especially like given the East Coaster's perception of your West Coast life. I love that.
Oh, you want to talk about some conversation. So when I was home or back east, Seattle's my home. Obviously, the next round of playoff games hadn't been played yet. So this is just coming off those home games where they were just all blowouts. I mean, you talk about 30 some Smiths together. People had theories. People were getting into it. Like I looked at my one cousin. I go, you're just making NFL divisions. Like, we used to have this. Remember, we changed it.
Dude, that's hilarious. Yeah, I could imagine. I mean, good sports talk for the Smiths, especially with the college football playoff popping off too. And that's just, you know, that's food for the beast.
Oh, yeah. Then there's a couple sports better in the crowd. We were all watching the NFL games that Saturday, and one went to overtime, and I don't know, somebody needed the over. Just it's at one point, like you just couldn't penetrate this like curved like wall of Smiths around the TV. I was like, what is going on? And you just hear one person cheering. It's like, oh, somebody hit the over.
Dude, correct me if I'm wrong. It could just be my experience, but it feels like more guys on the East Coast are sports gamblers and or bookies than guys on the West Coast. Is that true, Ted, or is that just my circle?
No. I agree with that 100%.
I don't know why. I can't tell you why. I've noticed that, I think. So
I never knew of people to have bookies out here. Whereas I feel like after I was 18, like there somebody always had a bookie within like whatever group you were in. And like people were sports betting all the time.
Yeah, now that you say that, I can't think of one Seattle person I've met who has a bookie, and I can't think of one Boston person who I've met who does not.
Correct. I mean, I remember when I started in radio in Baltimore, right? It's an AM sports station. So there's like five or six stations, but we're like down a hallway, then the left on the end of this hallway. And the guy that did like middays on like the light whatever station, like he was a serious gambler because he would come down there all the time, especially if the tournament or something was going on, and be like, what's the score of this game? What's the score of that game? I'm like, Jesus, man. And he was like, can I see the sports page? Like as soon as the start of his shift, he'd come in and like, I'm like, well, we need that for show prep. I'll bring it back. And then finally somebody's like, yeah, dude, he's a gambler. And I'm like, oh, makes a lot more. This guy, like, I like sports. This guy really likes sports.
Yeah, he is really, really into sports.
Like, it's almost weird.
It is crazy that everyone just has that in their phone now, like in their pocket, 24/7, 365. Like the casino does not close.
I wish we could if we could gamble online on our phones in Washington. I mean, I would throw 10 or 20 bucks on stuff all the time.
Oh, bro, have you checked out Pauly Market? Are you familiar with that?
No.
Boys. All right. Finally, my crypto knowledge and affinity pays off on this podcast. So Pauly Market is really cool. It's a prediction market. So the idea is that you're, you know, predicting the likelihood of an outcome of an event, kind of similar to analogous to sports betting, but you can bet on almost anything. And what it ends up being is essentially like human prop bets. So it'll be something as, or okay. What's a good example? Who's going to win the presidency?
All right.
But now there's like another layer to it, which is like, you know, the more you predict the outcome right, the more money you get. So the more predictive power you have in the future. Because every time a bet is placed, obviously the odds change. And it's not made by odds makers. Anybody can propose a bet and put money into it. So you can start your own bet. Now, the crazy thing is, this is just a quick aside. I'll try to keep it fast. For the U.S. presidency, there was this guy, this French stockbroker, who had an idea. And he was like, you know, if I could get better information than everyone else had, I feel like I could, you know, accurately predict outcomes and make a lot of money. So he bet $17 million that Trump was going to win the election. And he won. And he won a ton of money, won like $35 million or something like that. Because at the time, Trump wasn't trending well in the polls. So what happened is, he figured out that those polling companies, you can actually hire them to go run a poll that you want them to run. And the thing is, when they go out and poll, usually what they do is they ask people, who are you going to vote for? Well, what he did, which was just a slight little twist to do something different, is he had the pollsters go to people's houses in all the swing states, thousands and thousands of people, and they would ask them, not who are you going to vote for, but who do you think your neighbor is going to vote for? Because people didn't want to say that they were going to vote for Trump, but they would easily say like, oh, my neighbor, redneck, he's voting for Trump, you know, or just whatever. And so this guy knew with like really, really high accuracy, and he bet the farm and obviously ended up winning a ton of money. So pretty cool. Pauly Market's awesome, but it's just crazy prop bets. You can propose anything on there. You just have to say how it's going to be resolved. So anyway, yeah, you can waste some time on that, Ted.
I did not bet any money on it, but I told that to people too. They're like, look at the polls. And I'm like, I looked at them in 2016. Yeah. Right. I go, also, like, I like the
sanctity,
right, of the voting booth. So I said, you know, Trump's a massively polarizing figure. I go, there's a lot of people that are going to vote for Trump that won't tell you they are, you know, and I'm just people. And, you know, obviously I live in Seattle, a lot of, you know, a lot of liberals and stuff. Like, I don't know, man. Seeing the polls, I'm like, I'm not feeling confident.
Yeah. Dude, Seattle is a very insulated bubble. I'll say, like, popping in and out of it during the pandemic and recent years, you know, it's a very insulated bubble. And people kind of forget about you that, like, you live in Seattle now, but you are a DC guy. And in DC, especially growing up, like, politics are talked about a lot. People talk and think about politics all the time, where, you know, in Seattle, it kind of comes up every 4 years, some local politics stuff. But Seattle people always are blown away when the rest of the country doesn't think exactly like they do. And they don't realize often that they have some fairly extreme views by contrast. Not that I agree or disagree, only to say that like they're more on the edge than I think they believe.
Yeah. I think people just got to be realist.
Yeah. Gotta keep it 100, man. Like that French guy.
Yeah. It is kind of like the Shane Gillis bit, though. Like watching the History Channel, this and that. People, you sound like a Republican. I'm like, I'm still a Democrat, but it is a funny bit. Did you guys see Shane Gillis on College Game Day when they were at Notre Dame?
Was that the one where the old Alabama coach was there?
Yes.
So good. I saw the clips. I didn't see the whole thing.
Did you see the clips, Matt?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Right. Coach Saban's wearing this old like Indiana Jones looking hat. Gillis, I can't remember. He went to Notre Dame for a year.
Or... He went and like dropped out immediately. Yeah.
So he's there and he's talking about how the SEC, you know, he's like, well, we can all compete now as Notre Dame can pay for players just like, you know, Alabama did and Saban's out. So now they're just sitting on that desk and McAfee's like, well, you called him a cheater earlier. He's like, no. Like the SEC would never, ever just over the top, just explaining it. Like would never cheat. You could see Coach Saban getting upset. And Shane Gillis like, but it's a fun show, right? We're having fun. We're like, yeah. And he's like, well, old Alabama Jones over there looks like he's getting mad. I mean, I was sitting here on my couch. I was just like, yes.
Absolutely.
Live, just, Ted?
I watched it live, dude. I was
it was like, a kill shot. It was a kill shot.
You know, with my Xfinity cable, it just has that button that goes back 7 or 8 seconds. That was a quick, like, hit that twice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how do you come back from that? Brutal.
Yeah, and look, I've always bashed Notre Dame and this and that. I'll tell you what, though. Game day there on a Friday night for a playoff game. They're walking through the crowd like that tunnel of people. I was like, God damn, man. This is like an ad for Notre Dame.
I also hate Notre Dame, but the walk to the stadium is cool. Touchdown Jesus is cool, and I like the gold helmets.
Yeah. Well, some That's of my it. Family, they went up to Notre Dame for a game this year. My Uncle Phil's like, ask your cousin, what color are the squirrels? Pat, what color are the squirrels? They're gold. Like, come on. They have gold squirrels?
They got it all, man. Rich pricks in Indiana. So who does Notre Dame have this week? I'm trying to remember. Penn State,
yeah.
That's going to be a war. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Ted, who are you calling to win it all?
Man, after New Year's Day, I mean, I still think Texas will give them a game, but I mean, the smart money has to be on Ohio State.
Dude, let me check Polymarket. I could tell you right now where the smart money is, but yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody can beat Ohio State. I might eat my words, and I hope I do because I love Texas, but seems unlikely, you know, at this point.
The Ducks just caught an ass whooping.
Oh, God. I know. And they were so good this year. Like, did you see in some of their other games? Like, they were handing out ass whoopings all season.
Yeah, I saw them in person. I saw them hand out one of those whoopings to Maryland. I was like, this is the best team in the country.
Yeah. So,
I don't know. But you got to keep in mind, Ohio State, it beat the crap out of Tennessee the week before. Oregon was just sitting around. Like, hey, this week with Texas, at least Texas has just played a game. And, like, we'll see what happens. That game was freaking awesome. Arizona State, like, good Lord, that was the game of the weekend.
All right. Looks like 69% believe Ohio State, 34% Texas.
Like, nobody's even thinking about Penn State and Notre Dame.
Yeah. Well, I think...
Or is that just for that game?
To win it all. It's for that game. For the other game, Notre Dame 55, Penn State 46.
Yeah.
So, boys, if we bet $10,000 on the Buckeyes, we can make $4,473. Who's in?
Those are terrible. Yeah, those odds suck.
Yeah.
Dude, I forgot that I haven't used my bookie once all season. Because I'm addicted to Prize Picks. I love Prize Picks. It's so fun.
What's a prize pick? Sorry.
I forgot that, like, in the offseason last year, at some point, I bet the Seahawks to get more than 7.5 wins, but I bet $10. And so he had to text me about $10 that I had totally forgot about. And, like, I haven't you know, made a bet with him all season. So it's just a funny thing. I was like, for what, man? I had to log into the site.
That is actually hilarious.
Yeah.
Wait, what did you call that bet?
What do you mean?
It wasn't a prop bet. What'd you say?
No,
oh, I just, Prize Picks is a like what are Prize Picks? on your phone.
It's multiple like prop bets.
Yeah.
For different players. So like, you know, Geno Smith over 230 yards or under 230 yards, and you have to pair that with another dude's stats, and it can be from any game in any sport. And so you can, you know, pair like NBA with NHL with NFL, and, you know, jack up, if you call crazy stuff, you can jack up your payout odds. You know, to, I think they just made it so there's 1,000x payouts if you bet like the craziest outcomes.
Dude, this is going to be kind of a nerdy question, but how are the odds calculated in something like that? Like, is it a person and then they're just combining the two, or is it an algorithm that's combining the probability of the two?
Well, the prop bets are they're all just Vegas lines.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you would take one Vegas line and multiply it by another or something like that?
For instance, like when we went down to see Maryland and Oregon, right? We stopped at that super nice hotel or casino right there in Vancouver.
Illini or whatever?
Yeah.
We said it wrong.
And,
and then somebody wrote in saying, us. I don't know. Lonnie. I don't know.
So I bet Maryland, that might be right. I bet Maryland straight up to cover. And then I made a parlay bet of like, I needed Steph Curry to get like at least 23 points that night. And then I needed like a Maryland to do something. I needed somebody on Maryland to get, it's like, you could just put all these different bets together. So it just kind of keeps your interest on like different games that are going on.
Dude, I had to take statistics twice. So I'm not really one to speak on the subject, but that sounds like unfathomably low odds.
Dude.
No, people hit parlays all the time. And the other thing Vegas is so good. Earlier this year, I mean, if I had to be specific, Seattle, I think it was Monday Night Football, they're playing the Lions. So I had a bet on JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba, to get his, he had to get, the over-under was 87. I'm like, he's got this. And he got 89 yards. Like, it is shocking how good they are.
And those are humans, right? Setting those lines.
I mean, I'm sure they're using computers, but it's just, it's unreal. And honestly, of all the stuff I know, I don't really know the science behind it.
Bro, God, I mean, like, look at this interface. You just go through. Have you not seen the ads for Prize Picks?
No, I'm familiar with DraftKings, and there's like another big one, right?
Prize Picks is pretty big, but DraftKings and FanDuel are probably the biggest.
Wait, so is Prize Picks only crazy ass prop or crazy whatever, like combos like you're talking about?
It's got to be at least two, and there's some sensible lines with lower payouts. And then there's like
what a business.
Crazy line, higher payout. Like,
what a business. Yeah. Unreal. Unreal. I would love to see that accounting. Yeah. I know they're crushing, Matt. You don't have to tell me, bro.
Well, and that's something too.
I think I said I'm addicted to Prize Picks to start this whole thing off.
Yeah. Well, that's something too. When you live in states where it's legal, like, I know so many people, like, again, they don't bet a ton. But, like, my one buddy lives in Oregon, and every once in a while, especially when football's over, I'll get a text at freaking 7 in the morning on a Saturday, just like, is Arsenal going to win this game today? And I'm like, what? And I'm like, oh, he's just up watching soccer. He doesn't know about it, but he just wants to place like a $10 bet. So he's like, all right, yeah, screw it. Now I'm in on the action.
Dude, that's awesome. I feel like, actually, no, I don't know where I was going to go.
Used responsibly, it's a lot of fun. I don't get out of hand with it, but like, I just love putting down $5-$10 at a time. And, you know, sometimes I'm just doing little builders, little two easy parlays where you get like twice your money or something. And then sometimes I'm like, all right, let's turn $5 into $250. Like,
they're practically giving the money away, baby. Ted, I remember what I was gonna say.
It's unreal.
Which is like, it's never the people you would suspect. Like, you know how there was like the rise in mobile games, and you'd hear about like a couple games making $1 billion a year or like $1 million a day. like, you know, Clash of Clans, stuff like that. You see all the commercials on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was like not one, but two friends who confessed to me that they couldn't tell their spouse that they were like, you know, one was lesser. It was like $1,400. The other one was like over $5,000 in debt from those games. And you're like, you? Like, you're so cool. You're like, I don't want to give anything away. Like, you're a, like a musician, you know, or whatever. Like, how did they get you? And it just, you know, it's like, how did you, and how the hell did you spend $5,000 on Clash of Clans, my guy? And why didn't you tell your wife? You know, it's like, there's just layers. But I just, in those combos, like Ted, we were talking about before the cast started, that you're so good, just like, you know, being somebody who's easy to go talk to. Like in those, I'm just trying to be like, you know, stoic, non-reactive. It's like, oh man, that sounds tough. And in my mind, I'm like, bro, what the f***?
But you want to just snap react and be like, oh, you spent $5,000?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. Exactly. Like, it took everything in me to just be calm, cool, and collected. We were at like a Christmas party. This was a couple of years ago. I'm just like, all right, cool, man. Well, you'll get it back.
Well, and also, it's so funny because, like, we were talking earlier about people stopping drinking or stopping drugs. Like, those things harm you. And they're obviously probably worse, but I don't know, maybe not. But like, you can see that, right? If every time you show up at Matt's house and he's fall down drunk, it's like, well, Matt's got a problem. But like for those guys, like they're just on their phones. Nobody knew they were wasting money playing a weird little game. So I think that would be harder. That's why they had to pull you aside and be like, I got to tell somebody. Like, okay. Like, you're right, though. It's, somehow in this society, it seems odder. Like, you wasted it on a game?
Well, and it's just, and no disrespect to those people, only all that's to say, like, it's just, it's people you wouldn't expect. So I got to imagine over the next 3, 5, 7 years, like, we'll hear about some crazy gambling stories that are like phone-based gambling. It's like, I get, like, I went to Vegas, I made some wild parlays, you know, but like just on your phone, the, you know, the quiet of your own house, wild.
All right, before we go to break here, Cobb, I just have one dead serious question for you because I have taken down my decorations and my tree is pick up is in a couple days. How did you get that stand on there? I'm out there wrestling with my tree. I can't get the damn stand off.
I mean, that thing was tight. I remember you had him cut that little knob off. Yeah, you had him cut that little knob off on the bottom. Dude, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, we kind of used the weight of the tree and we were sort of twisting it. I feel like probably you're going to have to like fully open all those screws.
Oh, and they just... are. I think I'm just.
You might have to buy a new stand.
The main.
I think that's at this point probably about... your only option.
Well, the main maintenance guy, I know him, Will. He's a big dude. I'm just going to have to grab him. Like, this is going to sound crazy, Will. You got to help me get my tree stand off.
Dude, yeah. I mean, what are the options? You know, like even if he cuts it off, it doesn't help because the tree stand is still like has a stump stuck in it, you know?
The stump had like a little notch on the end, Matt. So we asked him to cut it off. They didn't quite cut it. So I mean, like Cobb was down there. I was pressing. So I was like, oh, we got it in. So I knew it was going to be a pain. But I mean, Sunday when I took that down, like I'm outside like sweating. Like,
dude, that was a nice tree too. But yeah, not the easiest to get into the apartment. Like, did you take it out the back?
Yeah, it's just sitting out on my little patio. That tree, by the way, was a soldier, right? Between my Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, I didn't spend the night in my own home. Then I was on a plane. I was gone for days. I get back. It's fine.
Still kicking.
You go out there right now and feel it. I'm like, what is this tree? And again, like, she was only a 5-footer, but I feel like for $80, that noble fir, I was like, that's a good tree.
Dude, nobles, man. It's just, it's a cut above. I love that. And that was a great tree, I got to admit. Very shapely. It's nice.
All right, let's take a quick break here, and we'll come back with emails, what's mattening, and the Cobb topic.
I like the confidence.
Oh, that's right. We got to cut all this out. That was just hilarious.
Yeah, his that's why motion. I wanted to. I had to be like, I was like, I can't say any of this.
Right, you're like, medium, slim, none.
I'm ready to rock when you guys are.
How many emails are you going to read today?
One, two, 3, 4, 5. But if there's any long ones, I'll cut them.
All right, ready to rock?
Straight to the finish line.
All right, welcome back. Thanks to all our sponsors out there. Also, a special thank you to anybody that clicked on, is it Ted's birthday? over my birthday on Christmas Eve and donated some money. I swear to God, we are having that party this year.
Is it tedsbirthday.com? Wait, so yes. That's what I was going to bring up. Also, boys, I don't know why, but today our chop off air has been so good. Great chop in the break.
It is. Oh, it's like the definition of like what you do with the boys.
Yeah, totally. Great chop. Wait, so yeah, the for is it tedsbirthday.com this year, Ted, we haven't gotten to talk about it yet, but the Africa video, what did you think?
Oh, I mean, it made me tear up. I don't know what it says about my algorithm. So Cobb years ago showed me, is it Christmas? Is it Christmas yet? Right?
Is it Christmas.com?
Is it Christmas.com?
On Christmas Day, it says yes. The rest of the year says no. Sorry, go ahead.
Right. So the inspiration was our buddy Jesse in the technical department made one for my birthday. It just says nope or hell yeah. And then it's got a button that you can hit the air horn. But this year, there was
only on its birthday.
Oh, right. Otherwise, it just says nope. So this year, my other buddy Sean pitched in some money. I have gotten these ads before. I don't know if you guys had on my Instagram, but it's a bunch of yoked up dudes in Africa, and you can pay them to send a message. So this year
to
on
sing
my
a
web,
message.
If you tap on the one of the bottles, it would pop up, and they're like, "Happy birthday, Ted! Ted, it's your birthday!" And they're holding a giant like picture of me. They're all flexing. They're like super pumped, and then LMFAO comes on. They like start dancing. One dude starts kissing my picture, and I like totally homoerotic. Right? But just when it starts, I'm like, oh my God, I've always seen these videos. Can't believe they got one for me. And I was talking to my buddy that got that, and he's like, here's the website. He goes, the problem is there's all these like add-ons. So it's like giant picture. And he's like, add on, you know, it's like $10 difference. It's like kiss the picture. And he's like, well, we got to do that. Add on. See, he's like, he had to stop himself. I was like, what else do they do?
Yeah, dude, I love it. And the craziest thing about all of it is like, they don't speak English is what he was saying. So they like, somebody tells them how to say it and they say it and then they dance. And dude, the video was so good. Like I was pumped to see that. I probably watched it. This is embarrassing. Probably 5 times. During the day, just pull it up and just fire one off, you know. But it was awesome. So anyway, for people who are listening, if you haven't seen it, you do have to wait till next year, but the plan is to add one Easter egg to isittedsbirthday.com each year as he gets older. So if you click on one of the flying beers, you will get the Africa video, but just remember that for, you know, 360 days from now or whatever it is.
Well, don't give out too many secrets from the technical department. I did not realize you guys were even talking about this when we were hanging out the day after Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah. But I just want people to know where to find the video. And, you know, unfortunately we have to wait a year, but in the age of immediacy, I think it's a nice change.
Yeah. Yeah. And right. And dude, trust me.
Happy
birthday, Ted. I mean, it was awesome. So it was like 12:01 and somebody was like, can we watch it again? And we were like, yeah. And then we were like, oh no, we can't. Gotta wait a year.
You may not. Yeah, it was awesome. It came out so good. Dude, those guys are rad and they did such a good job.
I think they call themselves the African fitness team.
Nice.
Here's the question. It's like a giant blanket with my picture on it. Like, where is that now? Like, is somebody like in that town just sleeping with a giant blanket picture of me?
Oh, brother Ted, you don't want to know. Yeah, and yes, there is some refugee, migrant, or single mom sleeping in that wrapped up in an alley somewhere. But, you know, I'm sure that it's warm comfort.
I just hope. I don't know. I mean, this is very far-fetched. For 20 years from now, somebody just stops me and they're like, oh, we had your blanket. What do you do? And it's like, I'm on the radio. I'm like, dude, you know, where we're from, you're a legend.
Yeah, it's like everyone in town knows you. I hung it up on the side of my house, like a tapestry. Dude, it's so funny to think about. Like, you're now in the same league as, like, you know, the, like, the Seahawks Super Bowl t-shirts on the year they didn't win.
Yeah, the Husky national title shirts.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, dude. Just circulating. So anyway, Ted, that blanket of your face is out there somewhere. It's doing God's work.
Oh, all right, Mr. Cobb, let's read some email.
That's actually so ridiculous, dude. What a time to be alive. That's awesome.
That's why I was just like, we were just sitting there and it's like, all right, where do you think the blanket is now though? Like, I mean, they could have just thrown it away, but I like the idea that somebody's just like, just walking it like just what they use as a blanket.
Dude, that's so funny, man, how your mind works. I didn't even consider that for a second until this moment.
Oh, yeah.
Video killed the radio star. Good evening to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
As soon as you asked the question, what did the internet kill? My first thought was the Dewey Decimal System. Is that still a thing? How do libraries organize things these days? It is still a thing. You look it up at the computer, but it is still in the Dewey Decimal System, at least at the big Seattle Public Library. But secondly, similar to Matt's answer about the electronics section, the internet killed the toy store. In today's world, kids just have to order toys online. But in my day, we went and saw a giraffe at Toys R Us or some other big independent toy store. Now that I have a toddler, I think back to how cool it was to go into a toy store and how it just doesn't exist in the same way anymore. Thanks, Kelly, the man.
Is she saying she's the man? I know. It's obviously a dude named Kelly. Very Irish of him. I mean, like,
you're I believe right. last time I thought it was a hot chick. That's why.
Right. Like, Target has a toy section, but Kelly's right, man. Going to Toys R Us, and then, you know, we used to go to malls all the time. So, you know, it'd be like KB Toys was never as good as Toys R Us, but I don't know. As a kid, it'd just be like, all right, I'm going to go to the toy store.
Yeah. Shout out FAO Shorts.
I don't think I ever went to one.
I've only been to one, and it was awesome. It was as amazing as what's that movie, Big. With Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it the one in New York City?
No. Where was the one I went to? I'm not sure. I was pretty little. I think it was in downtown Seattle. That could be crazy, but I think it was in downtown. I'm not going to look it up right now, though.
And I believe the giraffe's name was Jeffrey.
Dude, Ted, this perfectly highlights the difference between us. You know the mascot's name, and all I'm thinking about is like censor yourself from telling the story of how some young 23-year-old private equity guy was doing research and figured out that Toys R Us is the only major retailer to own all of their land, and that he would recommend to his boss, who'd recommend to his boss, who recommended to his boss's boss that they should buy the whole thing. They did and made like $900 million in a couple of months.
Jesus.
Yeah. Toys R Us is a crazy story, dude. And they were some young analyst was the first one to realize that even though the retailer was on the fritz, they owned all of their own real estate, some of the best real estate in America. Crazy deal. But anyway.
Did Jeffrey they get Jeffrey?
Also. Yeah. We got him.
That's like the final thing. Like, hey, we get the giraffe.
We're taking the giraffe with us.
Yeah.
Top Q and Kanban. Top topic. If video killed the radio star, what did the internet kill? Answer. Couch co-op video games. Physical media, photo albums, lighters at concerts, and channel surfing. Damn. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a huge gamer. It is awesome that people now can like just be like, hey, Matt, let's play and we can talk. But yeah, there's something about getting around with four people on a PlayStation, whatever, or yeah, I don't know, Nintendo, and like you just had to sit there and play with each other.
Yeah. Side note.
Also just makes me think of pizza and soda.
Oh yeah, and Doritos and Mountain Dew. Right. That was the era.
I'm gonna need a whole 2 liter down here, all right?
2 liters. 2 liters for the move. That's yeah, and LAN parties for the nerds out there. Awesome. What a time to be alive. Side note, one thing I appreciate is that the internet has yet to kill Christmas toy catalogs. I have two kids and we still get 4 to 5 physical Christmas toy catalogs every year, including a well-done one from Amazon. Brings me back to looking at a Sears wish book and dreaming of an insane Christmas morning that never came. There's a lot of jokes there. I'm not touching the Sears catalog or coming. Q for Cobb.
Let's just admit it. We all used to go to the brawl section.
That catalog always came. Okay. Right. That catalog fucks. Period. Bottom line, dude. End of story. No discussion.
Right. And there were certain stores where the magazine, the catalogs came that were better. Like LL Bean, that's going to be a tough stretch.
Right? Oh, yeah. It's, you're limping one out.
Right. But some of those, I was like, oh, yeah, we're good here.
Oh, yeah. And like Victoria's Secret at one point, you know, was put, it's like, whew. Okay, let's go.
Ooh. Dude, yeah, I told
Sears,
you.
Sears brought the heat, man. They knew what they were doing.
I told you, I had to be young, but I hid the sports section because it had a picture of the ice skater Katarina Witt that had won like a silver or bronze. And I was like, I better keep this.
Just see like, yeah, and like they were tights too. So you're just like looking at a tight.
It's a black and white photo in the Washington Post.
Oh, God. Ted, I wish I could give you grief, but honestly, if you saw some of the material that I had used, it, you know, same, man. Anything. Right. At that point, dude, it was lawless.
And I wasn't even at the age where I was like using it. I just liked looking at it.
Oh, there she is. Dude, I think I've told this story, but it's been a long time. The first like online porn image I ever saw was like loading like line by line across the screen. Oh, I remember it took truly close to an hour. And at the bottom, it said blonde bombshell. And I thought that was her name. That's how young I was.
Blonde bombshell.
Yeah, I still remember it to this day. Okay, question for Cobb. None of anyone's damn business, but you've mentioned this twice now. Do you and your wife live in an 80s sitcom where there's a giant tape line down the middle of your apartment and you only cross to socialize when the Kanban board dictates? Because it sounds like you're living like a couple that's been married for 30 years and the last kid has finally moved out. No judgment here whatsoever. Just being nosy. Well, Ross, you're not wrong. We just moved recently. So we had a one bedroom. We just moved to a two bedroom to get way better sleep, which actually worked. I was getting real crazy and was thinking about buying a hyperbaric chamber to sleep in, which is a story for another time. But, yeah, we essentially do have two sides now. Cause our apartment is like mirrored on each side. It's like closet, bathroom, bedroom, and then we have common space. So, you know, it basically is like an 80s sitcom, no tape line, but we're getting there. We're working towards it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, honestly, strangely accurate too. I wish I could do like a video tour on here.
Where's the mutual bed?
Hers.
All right.
I mean, that being said though, like she comes into mine too. I don't know. It's they're both mutual, I suppose, but like the we're gonna watch, you know, like Netflix in bed, her side.
All right.
No blue light in my bed, boys. Not this year. Sleep quality. That comment sounds insane, but 10 years from now, I think it'll be more respected. Happy dip season. Keep up the great work, boys. Love you guys. Ross W, Toledo, Ohio.
There you go. Go Rockets. Ooh, Ross. Big news out of the MAC today. Northern Illinois left. They joined the Mountain West.
Mountain West starting to have some good teams. 2024 grievances. They have commercials on Netflix now. I'm just trying to watch the Great British Baking Show. Fucking hell, Isaac.
Fucking hell.
Gentlemen, in the search for a cast slogan for 2025, I humbly submit the personal motto by which I've tried to live for the last decade. Work hard, be kind, and fuck what anyone thinks of you. In the 10 years since trying to put that into practice, the results speak for themselves. My annual compensation has tripled, despite getting laid off twice. I now lead a global team of accomplished lawyers. I've been able to donate consistently to two great charities I really respect and am on the board of directors for one. Bought a dope house and have been in the longest, healthiest, and most satisfying relationship of my life with an incredible woman who is literally the best life partner I could ask for. Coincidence? I think not. LARP on. Carson the lawyer.
Nice. Nice. Well, Carson, I'm glad you're doing well. So you're going to need that money to buy a new coach.
Damn, Ted. Ted not holding back in 2025, saying what he wants, not worried about what people think of him. I like it.
Right, somebody in my family definitely fired off. Oh yeah, well that's where Sherman marched. Ted's favorite. I was like, oh, you did listen to the cast.
Ted's favorite. Nice, man.
I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I'll stay on that. Like, big fan of General Sherman. Got me.
Got him. Ted's your call. We have one more, or we can save it for next week.
Let's save it for next week. Let's check out. You know, it's been a couple weeks. See what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out with what's maddening.
Yeah, I was just like, what do I even say? It's been such a blur since I last saw you boys. Yeah, Christmas was good. We had a nice time on Christmas Eve. There was one point when my girlfriend asked if I wanted to open the present that we opened on Christmas Eve, and I just pulled out isittedsbirthday.com that said hell yeah and started hitting the siren.
Nice, good work.
Yeah, that was a fun moment. And then yeah, Christmas was pretty chill. We got a record player and speakers, so you know, I'm an audiophile in the making now. And I'm really snobby about it, and it's probably only going to get worse. But it's pretty tight. And
get the Bee Gees greatest hits.
Why is that?
My buddy has it. I don't know how to explain it to you. Like, it's just got hit after hit on it. It's just like, you're like, fuck, I forgot how much I like the Bee Gees. And like, I don't know, listening just song after song on a record player. Like, I just, that's my recommendation.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you got to get albums that, like, there's no skippers on.
Yeah.
You know, shout out to Redman. Muddy Waters, too, I have not been able to find on vinyl, but his new record fucks for sure.
Nice.
Podcast
like, alumni.
We had him on our podcast. Right? That's such a big get. And so. Yeah, let's see. Oh man, it's like so much stuff happened. You're just talking about General Sherman, and we went to Sherman's, one of my favorite restaurants here. Was that New Year's Day? New Year's Eve? But yeah, been, you know, still watching 24, you know, like multiple days of 24 over the break. And went out to LA, saw my niece. She's 2.5. It's very fun. The rest of the family was complaining about how much she likes me, which I was like, I earned this, everyone else. Like, yeah. She comes to the desert, she knows she's at Uncle Matt's, and we're going to party. We're going to ride the golf cart. But went out and visited her and brought her some new shoes and an
LA. Matt, I want to do that too.
Huh?
I want to party at your house and ride the golf cart too.
We got to check out Ducks. I mean, Ted, it's an elite day drinking destination. Like, I really think that's the vibe here. Cobb, like, you've been to the desert more times. We were talking about it. Like, yeah, it's not the biggest nightlife place, you know, but as far as like drinking by the pool or like, you know, going for brunch and just kind of like checking out the different patios on El Paseo and just grabbing a drink at each, like, There's just a lot of room to, do some damage during the day and then be asleep by my bedtime, too.
Oh, yeah, Matt, I'll back you 100%. There's plenty of time out there to get shifty in the middle of the day. I mean, I like the rebrand, Elite Day Drinking Destination. I think that hits. That's what I'm going to start calling it. And, yeah, the desert, the nice thing about it is there's nothing to do. Like, people kind of expect it to be nightclubs and whatever. And like, it's pretty chill, but with nothing to do, it's like, what are you going to do? Like, let's go get some drinks on El Paseo, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I don't know. I just love living here. And so like kind of honestly, like the biggest development, I think since I saw you guys last was Jared Dines, Ted, who you remember from Rest Repose, played the Men's Room. And like, he's this online, metal, like music content creator, and he does this thing called Musician Mansion, and
all right,
they get 15, it's a reality show on YouTube, they get 15 musicians in one big house and pair them up into three bands of five, and give the bands different challenges, like writing songs and stuff. And you just kind of watch it unfold. I got sucked in on season one. I think that was filmed up in Marysville somewhere.
All right.
And then season two, I'm watching it and I keep seeing the establishing shots and I'm like, dude, that those are some tight mountains. Those kind of look like my mountains. I'm like, what's that golf course back there? And like it was filmed a mile and a half up the hill from me, like
Nice.
season two. And so I've just been kind of geeked on that and just loving living here and just kicking off the new year strong. It's a great show. If you know Jared Dines, Nick Nocturnal's on there too, and bunch of random people, but like the singer from Rest Repose, Vince, was on it this season, and yeah, they just kind of ironed out some of the kinks from season one. It's like this random niche YouTube reality show that I like saw season one. I was like, this is pretty cool. And then season two, I was like, I'll give it a shot. And then I was like, dude, they've leveled up the production. And I was like, what are these establishing shots? What's this drone footage all about? Like, that's my backyard. Hell yeah, dude. So.
Well, I mean, he's pretty big, but Drewski did it to me with that. He's got his Could Have Been Records, and then they had the Could Have Been Records Could Have Been House. I think it was on YouTube, and I found myself on Tuesday. It's like, ooh, since I'm done with the cast, I'm putting on a new episode.
Yeah, I got like I watched season one and then like I don't know when I was I never thought about like, oh, I can't wait for season two, but as soon as it popped up on my feed, I was like unreasonably excited to check it out. And then it happened to be, filmed right here. And so then like on the next episode, they're like, oh, we gotta go to the mall to get costumes, we gotta go to Guitar Center to get gear. I'm like, that's my mall. I know that Guitar Center's right down the hill. Like, just freaking out over dumb shit, but like having a really good time. Like, it was a
Nice.
really chill break. But yeah, I've been in good holiday spirits and all the football on. Dude, it was a time warp. Like, holidays on a Wednesday,
Oh, so weird.
and then football on every day. Like, and then no the podcast. I had no clue what the fuck was going on. So. It's
Yeah.
really
When
good
I was in
stuff.
Maryland, I looked at my brother one day. I go, "It is Friday, right?" He's like, "Yeah." I was like, "Okay." Well, dude, did you see that snowstorm that's going on the East Coast right now?
A little bit. It looks pretty wild.
Yeah, but I mean, just a child's fantasy. Everybody got 2 full weeks off because of the midweek Christmas. And then the Monday you're supposed to go back, snow day. Tuesday, snow day. I saw DeMatha's already closed tomorrow. I'm like, oh, man. You didn't do whatever assignment you had. You had to be sitting there Sunday night, like, let's go.
2025, baby. It's our year.
All right. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Cob topic.
Topic.
The Gulf of Mexico is no more.
Jesus.
The Gulf of America now reigns supreme. Boys, the cob topic this week. What's the most ridiculous thing of 2025 so far? And I would just like to make these two notes. One, 2025 is our year, and our can mean anybody. Maybe the pie is just getting bigger, but it's our year collectively, all of us, especially listeners of the podcast. So, what's the most ridiculous thing of 2025 so far? Obviously, Trump wants to rename the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. Let's go, America. Anyway, what are your thoughts, boys? And anybody listening, feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com.
Man, I'm just waiting for him to call Canada America's
It's
hat.
coming.
Jesus. I saw that today. I was at work. I was like, I'm not even gonna click on that. The Gulf of America. Like, all right.
Dude, that has been making me laugh all day.
What, Ted, you don't want to make America great?
Just like, we gotta name it the Gulf of America. Like, come on.
Like, I think we have bigger problems to solve right now.
Yeah, right. What about those grocery prices, dude?
Yeah, it's like, look, I don't hate it, but can we have peace in the Middle East first?
Puerto Rico's like, but we can't be a state.
Yeah,
Not you, Puerto Rico. Not you, DC.
Canada, you're 51. Congratulations. Right. Dude, oh my God. This is actually really embarrassing. I shouldn't share this, but I will. I bought a coat, like I was saying, I was telling you guys before the cast, because there's a freeze down here. And it was from this company that's based in Canada. And I was on the phone with their customer service, and there was some issues going on. They weren't able to change the size of my order. I was getting very frustrated. I'm embarrassed about this. I really shouldn't have said it, but, or I didn't say it, but I'm embarrassed for thinking it, which was, I was about to be like, well, how does it feel to be the 51st state? I didn't, but like, I thought about it, you know, multiple times. I was just like, dude, don't be an asshole. Like, it's just customer service people. But yeah,
I will say,
my blood was boiling.
Years ago, and I used to take cabs all the time, and like Uber was getting bigger, but I took a cab to the airport. The dude was like, and it's like after work, like I'm in a rush. He's like, I'm just gonna drop you at arrival. So I was like, no. You gotta take me to departures. Like I need to get moving. He's like, well, it's easier for me. I was like, man, I'm in a rush. He still does it. So I'm like, you know, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, rah, 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 like, you're probably not going to tip me. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to fucking tip you. You didn't take me where I needed to go to. And as I got out, I went, this is why Uber's taking your job. I'm like, slam the door.
Yes, dude. Dude. I mean, that's what I'm saying, Ted. Like, how hard is it to go into a database and just change a medium to a large? Right. Is that too much to ask? Is that a crazy request? Am I the first one to call up customer service and ask to change the size? They're like, no. We're going to ship it to you, then you ship it back to us, and then we will ship you a large. And I'm like, but it hasn't even left the warehouse yet. I ordered it 13 minutes ago. And she's like, sorry, that's just the way we do things. We're a Canadian company. I want to be like, well, you know what? You're about to be an American company.
Yeah, aren't you supposed to say sorry?
Yeah, yeah, right, dude. I know. I was like, in what world is this becoming my problem? Like, just L. Instead of M, that's it.
Now I just feel like making going in on Canadians. Like, yeah, I guess the Canadian club's never going to win the Stanley Cup again either, huh? Where's your McJesus now?
Yeah, I guess O Canada's getting retired.
Right. God, the craziest thing. I mean, Jesus Christ, this conversation is the craziest thing. 2025 so far. You know what? This is all legit. It's a civil suit. But there is a woman that used to be the main hairdresser for Fox Sports. And she, in the court filing, basically said, like, Joy Taylor, who I really like, was, like, sleeping with all the executives to get jobs. And I was like, well, that's a bummer. And I was always like, look at Joy Taylor getting a nice, better job. But she also said that, allegedly, that Skip Bayless offered this woman $1.5 million to have sex with him. I was like, $1.5 million?
Gracious. Jesus. God, Skip is getting paid. Good Lord.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, at that level, like, you have to notify the IRS. You know? Like, that is a huge payment that will not go unnoticed.
Dude, it's $1.5 million? I'm sure you could pay somebody to find a woman that looks exactly like her.
10 times. You could pay them 10 times. She'll move across the country for you for that.
Yeah, you could stay at the Bunny Ranch for 2 weeks.
Dude, and Ted, this does
maybe three.
This does square with your theory that, like, hairdressers are always causing drama.
I did like randomly in the report, because I'm a Cowherd fan too. It was like, Mr. Cowherd was always super professional and courteous in the workspace. Like, not sure why you added it, but good for Colin.
Nice. That's awesome. Matt, most ridiculous thing in 2025?
Most ridiculous thing in 2025. Yeah. I want to say it's just how much better music sounds on vinyl.
Oh,
the amount of people that don't have records.
True play. Elitist.
I told you I've become a snob, guys. Like, yeah. It is. It's real. I heard people talk about it. Now I'm one of those people. It sounds so much better. You get to connect with the record, and you got to get good records. You can't, you know, it's got to go top to bottom bangers. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I have a small collection, but it's a worthy one. It's strong. It's robust. And yeah. I mean,
hey, the size doesn't matter, Matt.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'm not. I'm just saying, all these other MP3 people, you know, like, Maybe 2025 is the year you take a good hard look in the mirror and tell yourself you deserve it and get a record player.
I mean, honestly, it's not a bad call.
Dude, it's pretty ball. Shout out to our technical service. I mean, our technician behind isitedsbirthday.com.
Tech department.
Tech department, yeah. Yeah, he's got a record player. He does it right, and it's great to finally be in the club.
I like calling everything departments now. I did it on my cousins. You work in shipping, right? It's like, well, we all do a bunch of stuff at the shop. Like, just come on. I need departments.
Shipping department it is.
Right. Or last time, me and our guy from the technical department were cooking in his kitchen, which is a great big kitchen. At one point, I just go, hey, can we use kitchen terms? And he's like, yeah. Behind.
That's awesome.
You got to make it official. All right. Well, good cast, boys. Good to see everybody. For all the podcast listeners, hope you had a great holiday. Happy New Year. And, you know, yeah, let's get it this year.
We are so back.
We're fucking back. All right. From CTP, for Cobb, I'm Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.